Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic, and we do apologize for the technical difficulties, but the song did not start. And so we're going to get started. Trying it over again. Okay, my apologies. Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
I stand before you with hands up.
Behold, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Oh, fill me with your power, Lord. Make me new again. Make me new again.
Everyone, you are listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic, and this is Stacey Lunsford, your host for the evening, and my co-host is none other than Christian Starr, and we have a special guest tonight, Christian author Lisa Dixon. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you, Christian Starr?
I'm good tonight. How is everyone?
All is well. I am so excited. I do extend apologies for the technical difficulties in the beginning of the show, but I thank you for your patience. The song that we was listening to was called Make All Things New, and that was Ms. Dixon's request. And I just feel led to let you know, if you are listening tonight, that God said in his word to remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, but to behold the new thing that is springing forth. So God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to get right into our show. I'm going to start by reading a little bit about our guest this evening. Lisa provides practical advice and encouragement on her journey and living and activating the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, Lisa began writing her daily devotional, Lisa's Inspiration, to offer daily encouragement to others near and far. What began as a single dream to be a writer grew into Lisa's inspiration. Lisa is among an elite group of women that have founded Deli Inspirations in America and is one of an even smaller number that have continually inspired many. Lisa's vision is to serve, inspire, and give back. Has been recognized multiple times. She was named as Meritorious Civilian Service Award Manager, Executive Leader with the Graduate School, Outstanding Community Service Award from the Dress for Success of Hampton's Roads, Volunteer of the Year from the Mount, Chesapeake, Virginia. She received the Pursuit of Excellence Award from K.W. Brown International Ministries. Ms. Dixon received Blacks in Government prestigious member award for outstanding contributions to Region 3 and setting the standards of excellence. So that's just a portion of her biography. And throughout the show, we're just going to be sharing a little bit about her, but we're going to open up this discussion. And Lisa, what a wonderful journey you have been on. And wherever you would like to pick up where I just left off with your bio, please feel free to let our audience know a little bit more about you, where you are right now, and then we'll kind of get into your book a little bit.
Okay. I'm presently retired after 31 years with the federal government. I'm actually in school right now at Regent University and completing two books. I've started one that's in editing right now, which is Special Anniversary of Lisa's Inspiration. And myself and my husband are writing a covenant relationship book together, which we're hoping to have that out by the end of the year as well. I'm just really now having the opportunity by being able to retire that God has allowed me to just do a lot of self-reflection and just keep looking at that woman in the mirror and seeing how I can better myself.
Amen. And you know what? That is an excellent statement because to see all of, to just read all of your accomplishments, but to hear you say that, that's saying, okay, God, I thank you for all that I accomplished, but there is more for me to do.
Yes.
And that I commend you on that. And for those of you that are listening, it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God, how old you are, you know, there is greatness inside of you. And I just know that as we continue to move into the show and Lisa is going to share some more with us, that she's going to release some nuggets to encourage you and to inspire you. And Christian Starr, do you have any questions for Lisa?
Well, I know that life is an ever-changing, ever-growing thing, but if you could just expound on the inspiration or the empowerment that comes from being able to inspire others. I just think that's something that oftentimes people that are able to inspire others don't really get to express, just, you know, the empowerment or the blessing of oneself that comes from being able to uplift and inspire others.
Yes, I definitely would love to share that. I think that the Lord gave me that push to just write through my own struggles in life and to things that I had to go through in life and always learning. I had to really learn, and I worked hard at this in my life because I used to always listen to what people say, you know, and even in my past years, but recently, I tell you recently, because I said after I've been able to sit down and just really hear from God and not be distracted by EEO cases, HR, and that's what I did for a living, but to just now look at me and make myself better. I saw that people needed to be encouraged. When I sit at mediations for human resource, I saw people in workplaces that were never happy because they really didn't know themselves and know who they were, and they always had other people's opinion of them. And, you know, I often tell a lot of people this. I encourage them because everything God made is good. We have to sometimes just close our ears to what the world is saying and really hear what God is saying, because he has a great assignment for all of us. And so that started my journey as I started to write this book. And Lisa's inspiration, I actually had wrote a book for like 2 years, and I had put it to the side. And I was in church one day, and my bishop had talked about there were things that we dreamed of that we need to pick up and go back to. So this was one of the things that I had dreamed up, writing a book. So in this point, I picked up the Word document that I had put away years ago and started looking at some of the things I was writing about the woman in the mirror and how much is enough for your spirit to be free. And listening and just going through that path of writing that, I remember how I had to just go through that process of just looking at myself and helping myself to be free by self-examination. So I wanted to write a book that carried people through all the different processes of things that may hold them back, that may stop them from walking through and walking to what God has for them.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. I just really felt that someone needed to know that when you inspire, you're empowered.
Amen.
And that is so true. But Lisa, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, with all of your accomplishments, being a wife, because you're married and you have children, and then all of the wonderful things with your career, what do you have to say about finding, and as a Christian author and a motivational speaker, could you talk to us a little bit about balance? Where do you find the balance with the various hats that you wear and still being able to dedicate the time you need to writing?
Well, I will first say I truly thank God for my help, my husband, because my husband has always served with me in, not only in the body of Christ, but even in the community. We served years in NAACP and Urban League and Black to Government. By having him always with me, it made it easy because we would always even have our children involved as they grew up, because we were all doing things together, serving the community and enriching ourselves. And I think work-life balance is very important. I never try to take too much. And if I feel something is pulling me more in one way than not pulling me from home, then I will step down or I would just say, you know, right now I can't do that. I had to learn that early, because being in HR and being a department head, you have to balance not only people but your own self so that you can be effective. So I would have to say what I do is, even when I was at work, I plan my week, I plan my day. Of course, things can happen in between, but I try to plan it so that I know what I have to do and making sure that whatever I do it with a spirit of excellence. So that's how I balance my
Amen. I like that answer. A spirit of excellence. I love it. At any time for our audience, at any time if you would like to join the conversation or if you have a question for Lisa, please press #1 on your phone and we will be more than happy to speak with you. And we do recognize that a few of you did select one and we will get with you shortly. Lisa, could you tell our audience how they can purchase a copy of your book and just give us your give them your contact information?
Okay. Well, first I would like to give them my website, and that's www.lisas, L-I-S-A-S, and then it's -inspirations.com. My books are also on Amazon, and I have two books that are out there right now. That's Lisa's Inspirations and A Brother's Love Grief Guide. As well, I have an email address, and that's lisasinspirations@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that information. Now, I'm going to read an excerpt from her website, and I'm going to say the address again. It's lisas-inspiration.com, and It's time for all to work in our communities to help one another. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We are one body full of many colors and backgrounds. But when we work together on one accord, much is accomplished. Lisa says, I volunteer every Wednesday at a homeless shelter, helping all homeless citizens look for jobs, writing resumes, and conducting mock interviews, also providing a 30-minute moment of hope and inspiration to all, letting them know we serve a God of many opportunities and reminding them that everything God made is good. You would be surprised of how much your love and encouragement can change someone else's life. Get out of talking about the problems of this world and become an agent of change for all in this world. Each of us in this world can make a contribution to your community that will change the lives of many. For example, set up times in the public libraries in your community where you can provide tutorial support for children of single parents. Another idea would be collect suits and dresses for parents looking to re-enter the workforce but need clothing. Take the clothing to the shelters who provide employment opportunities to their guests. Conduct financial workshops on budgeting, etc., at shelters or local community centers. We can all make a change in our communities. Seek God in your heart to see what you can do to make a positive change in your community or surrounding communities, and pray without ceasing for our leadership and communities is your daily routine. And she says, love you all to life. Let's all live in peace and harmony. God will do the rest. He will fight our battles. And Lisa, I so commend you and I thank you. I thought it was very appropriate to share that piece on your website in light of everything that's going on, you know, around the world with all of the recent, you know, deaths, the yes. two gentlemen and then the police officers. So we do want to take a time and just acknowledge that and continue to lift up the families of everyone involved. But yes. how did you actually start working in the community and giving back?
Well, my recent activity in the community, I've always done different things, but the recent thing is that my church does a CASH, which is a homeless shelter, once a year. We house the homeless for about 2 or 3 weeks, all the churches in Chesapeake, and I volunteer for that moment. And when I first started volunteering, I was doing resumes and interviews, mock interview skills. Well, this year when I participated, I met the organizer, which is Mrs. Trudy, and she asked me would I be interested in coming forward after the shelter moment and helping every Wednesday in Chesapeake and South Norfolk. And I told her, you know, sure. And so I went out there that first Wednesday after that, and I've been doing it ever since. It's truly rewarding because we have a lot of success cases where we've gotten people jobs. We've also worked with different companies to even get offenders jobs, just allowing everyone to be able to get back in the workforce, to be able to build their self-esteem, to allow them to know that they, too, can move forward from this situation. So not only do we do interviews, mock interview practicing, but we also do resumes, and I do a life skill resume. I find out from them what skills they have, and I build their resume from the skills in that format. And then I do a little 30-minute call, 30-minute motivation, and that's where I present the Lord to all of them, and we talk about the goodness of the Lord, and I also give them a word to stand on because, see, when you're out there and you see darkness and you are looking for that light, you need something to stand on. And I just remind them all again that everything God made is good, and we have a realistic, open conversation of how they feel in this time. Do they feel that God is near them or do they feel that God is far? And we talk about that, and then we go into the Word and help encourage them and lead them with the Word. And I give them all my book, Lisa's Inspiration, especially to all the women, because now in those shelters, there are more families. There are more families with children. So not only are you trying to get maybe a father back in the workforce, but you're trying to get a whole parenting, a whole household. And I love that the way CAS does it, because there are social workers that come out there on Wednesdays. The church that we do the program in, they provide, you know, food and feed them, and also give them transportation vouchers where they can go do, you know, go to an interview or catch a bus and go and apply for a job or a place to stay. So that's what I'm actually doing right now on Wednesdays, is I go from 12 to 3 every Wednesday, and I work at the CAS shelter there in Chesapeake, helping reemployment and just giving them skills so that they can re-enter the workforce, but also be prepared to answer those questions that come up on that interview by helping them to research the companies that they're going to interview with and preparing their questions that they can ask while they're there.
Do you by any chance work with any, you know, like the reentry programs for prisoners, ex-convicts
yes.
that come out of prison? Okay. Could
yes,
you tell
ma'am.
Us about that?
Okay. So what happens is when they come to CAS, they have to sign up. So pretty much there's a social worker there, and we pretty much know who's in that category, because a lot of them, you get to know them, because we sit downstairs with them at first and we're eating lunch with them and we're talking with them. And when we see new ones that come, we'll ask them, you know, would you like to have your resume, you know, would you like to do a resume today? Would you like to look into job opportunities? And they might say, well, ma'am, I have a felony, and I, you know, and we tell them that's okay. We have connected with programs that can help you get reemployed. So we try to find out from that point on. I have them to fill out a little survey that gives me an idea of the different workflow that they've completed in the past and the skills that they have, and we take that and build a resume. Like I said, at least 20 of the ones that we've placed since January, since I've been doing the program, at least 20 of those are part of the incarceration back to reemployment. We call them reemployment back into the workforce. So
mm-hmm.
they are actually successful, because we work with the Salvation Army and Goodwill. They have a program, and once they complete this program, they go through there, they sign up for this program, and they, in that program, they train them as well. And once they finish that program, they are open up to at least 4 companies in this Tidewater area that will employ them.
That's amazing.
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So
go ahead,
Christian. There are so many places that need that, because it's, you know, my biggest problem with the industrial prison complex is you have people that go into the system, and sometimes they don't even go into the system for a crime that they've committed. But once you
right.
have that label felon on you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you come out and it's not the same. You know, I think there's a whole spirit involved with incarceration that damages
right.
the soul while in that particular
right.
confinement. And when they come out, it's almost like they've paid a debt to society, but or even, you know, paid a debt unearned, but there's not enough love and compassion and support in place for these
yes.
people to be properly reacclimated to community and reacclimated to society. You know, and
exactly.
for us right now, as we are watching everything happen in the news in our communities, we have to go back to that village mentality, that community mentality. That means even if it's our own, when they come out of that system, we have to be there and ready to embrace them, love on them, make sure they have what they need, and that they're able to not only survive but thrive without having to go back into that environment again. So I greatly commend you and those that you work with for taking on that particular task. And, you know, I hope that people that are listening right now will be empowered to do that in your communities. You know, it would really be awesome if you would.
And they need so many more helping hands, because sometimes we get a flood of people that come in, and we try to meet them downstairs. Like I said, when they start, we start at 11 o'clock, they start feeding. So we try to meet them downstairs, so that way you can get to know them and you can get to talk to them, and they become comfortable with you, and they share, because we meet them where they're at. You know, everyone that is part of that program that works with the group that comes is full of love, and that is because, you know what, we're all filthy rags saved by grace, and if we have that mindset of just being there in love and helping them, it doesn't matter about their situation, but the only thing matters is how we can help them restore their faith and move forward.
Right. Well, if it's okay, we want to take a moment now to address our phone lines, because there are some folks there that are waiting to interact with us, and we don't want to lose them.
Okay.
Caller, line ending in 2160, you are live with Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. Good evening. Caller
with the last four numbers.
2160, are you there? Okay.
Well, Christian, just announced that I'll announce it. For those of you that are listening and you press 1 to get in the queue, we will be calling you by the last four numbers of your telephone number. So the last four numbers, your first three numbers is area code 757, and your last four numbers is 2160. Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. You want to speak with author Lisa Dixon? This is your opportunity. Okay, Ms. Starr, let's go to the next one.
Caller, if you are on the line, number ending in 0144, you're live with Eloquently Speaking and author Lisa Dixon. Good evening. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the queue, please press 1#1, and we are actually at a segment in the show where we love to hear from you. Is there a caller on the line with us tonight for Eloquently Speaking, ending in 7350?
Okay, one moment. Okay.
Well,
caller with the last four numbers, 7350. Well, I have their numbers marked if later on they want to come back, because they're still holding. They're on the line. So we'll just come back to them. We could continue with the interview. And Lisa, at this time, is there anything that you would like to share from either of your books? I wasn't sure if you wanted to read an excerpt, and if you could just tell us, you know what, let's talk about A Brother's Love.
Okay. A Brother's Love. I wrote this book. I lost my brother, Andre. He had kidney failure. So I remember going through this brief process when I lost my brother. It was like we did not have anyone to really help us understand the process of grieving. And I wanted to write a book that would not only help people, but to also allow them to celebrate life and not the death of a loved one. So I wrote this grief guide, and I'm first allowing everyone to just know to tell your story, because everybody has a story. So to be able to tell the life of that loved one. And so when someone reads your book or reads your story of that person, they will get to know who that person was. So in the beginning of my book, I'm talking about who my brother was to me and who he was to others in the family. And then I'm helping them understand the different stages that they may go through during the grief process. And I'm talking to them about the first week and different things that may happen, and you really don't start to deal with your grief until really after the service and everyone's gone and all the phone calls stop, and then the reality is there. So I'm helping them process holistically through that grief process by preparing them to understand we're going to celebrate that life, and you're going to seek God's face through this process, because He notices when we are sad and despairing, and He is the lifter of our heads. So I'm reminding them and giving them scriptures to just stand on as they go through this process of healing. Also, talking to them about, you know, sometimes you can get into a dark place when you're going through grieving, and you're not able to just even focus to start the process. So I'm talking to them about journaling, taking a book and starting to write reflections of who the person was to them and how what they mean and their attributes and different things that would remind them of that person, so that they can continue to keep that person alive within them and the love that they have for them. As well as sometimes we do this process, me and my husband, which is kind of like painting out your pain. So on canvas, we do a process where, and we're talking to them in this book why they can get some canvas and get some dark or light color paint. And when they first started painting on canvas, they want to paint all of their pain. What color identifies the pain that you're feeling through that grief process? You know, is it red, is it black, or what have you? And then on that might be on your left side of your canvas. And then on your right side of your canvas, you want to write or paint the light colors that you would like to feel, the joy that you would like to have, even in the midst of your pain. And then in the middle, you draw a new normal. And the new normal is moving forward through your pain as God heals you. So writing this book, I try to write it so that it would be a tool that could be used for anyone that needs to just have something to hold on as they're, or something to use as they're going through this process of healing and to heal holistically.
That is wonderful, and that's needed on so many levels.
Yeah.
There's so many of us that go through grief and have absolutely, positively no grounds of where to start. Absolutely none. And that's something that's so needed, and it's a discussion that I don't want to just say it's our community, but it's a discussion that's so difficult to have. So I definitely commend and applaud that, even tackling that subject matter.
Yeah, and I found that even talking, we've done grief groups, and I found that even talking with families as they're going through it, it is such a difficult time of pain, and you want to keep directing them towards Him, towards the Lord, and keep bringing them, you know, sometimes people may be mad at God, so they don't want to hear the scriptures, but just keep loving on them enough until you can keep getting them before Him. And because He is going to be the only one that's going to heal their pain, because, you know, God dealt with grief before all of us, because His Son Jesus died, as we all know. And so He bore grief, and He can handle grief, and He can help us through grief, things that we can't even understand why we're feeling or how we're feeling. When we just really seek His face, He will notice that when we're sad, and He will give us the joy, and the joy will come in the morning, and we will have the strength to endure. So that's what I try to mainly keep pushing or forwarding their attention, even in that pain, towards Him.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to share an excerpt when you get from my other book as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I was just going to say, it's important that you said that, because a lot of times, you know, we're grieving and we're hurting so bad, and that pain, you just want to just want it to go away. But I think one mm-hmm. of the awesome things you said, you know, taking that time, as soon as you said write, because eloquently speaking, we are a writing group. So writing is so therapeutic.
Yes.
And that whole grieving process, you go through so many different processes, because you're mm-hmm. in denial, you're angry,
yes.
then, you know, mm-hmm. then you're depressed. So when my father passed, I didn't have time mm-hmm. to write right away, but once I started writing, you know, I actually started to see all of the different places I was at. And it's like,
yes.
wow, you know, mm-hmm. going back and looking over it, I learned so much from it, and it really, really helped me. So I look forward to this piece that you're getting ready to share with us from your book.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to share is from my new book that I'm writing, and this is like a day 38, you know, one of the days, and it may change from day 38 to 39 during the final drafting, but I thought this would be something that what we're going through right now in society that would be good as well. And it's God's desire for all of us. That is the subject. It is God's desire that the whole world might come together to know him through his chosen people. His blessings is never intended for Israel alone, for he states that all the people of the earth, not just some of them, will be blessed through Abraham's descendants. Pray for everyone so you can stay in alignment with God's will and purpose. God's desire is to communicate with us so we can receive our blessings. Watch out for your vulnerabilities. Remember, Satan cannot read your mind or thoughts. He's a fallen angel, but he can read all the nonverbal clues. He is listening to our conversations. So ensure your words are filled with the fruits of the Spirit so God can answer your heart's desire and not Satan's. And I wrote that because a lot of times we are asking God's desires, but we're not loving one another. We're not communing with him. We're not understanding that the promises that he has is for all of us. It's not for this group. It's not for this clique, but he has it for all of us. We just have to align ourselves up with him and according to his word. And you know, pray without ceasing, because we are all going to go through stuff in life that may pull us to the left, but when we align ourselves back up, we can be in a righteous place with him.
That is so true. So our words are so powerful. Satan is constantly sitting waiting to hear us say something that exudes fear or that exudes unbelief or doubt. You know, he definitely can't read it, but he's definitely waiting to hear it, and we just can't give him that toehold at all.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to say this. I look forward to getting an opportunity to read this book. I'm actually excited about the inspirational book because that's the one I just finished editing it, so I've had the privilege to actually read it. and there's just so much, there's so much empowerment, but at the same time, it speaks of being reminded. And I wonder if that crossed, you know, if that crossed you as you were writing. That a lot of times the people that will read it, they already know this, or they've already heard it, or, you know, they've been introduced to it. But it's like, remember this. Like, I think it's in 1 Peter when he reminds the people that his job is to keep you in remembrance. It really isn't a question of whether you know it or whether you don't know it. It's more of a question of, is it embedded in you? And, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we have to constantly hear the word, constantly hear the word in order for it to take a strong root and anchoring in us. So when I was reading that as I was editing, that was something that resonated strongly with me, is the be in remembrance, keep in remembrance.
Yes. Because true success is focusing on God's promises. You know, for me, I found, you know, these were things that I had already written for myself, and I knew that every time I would get low or despairing, these words, I would open up my little notebook at the time, and I would reread something that I wrote down, and it would re-inspire me to stay focused and to keep moving and keep going. So that was one of the reasons that I wanted to write things that I know, which have been effective in my own life, that I know that they will bless other people. And then I had girlfriends that would tell me, because I would send them little texts, and some of my friends from Maryland all the time, and they would say, Lisa, you need to put that stuff in the book. And, you know, and that's where the first Lisa's inspiration came from. And then my anniversary book is some other things that I had, and I just wanted to add them all. And, you know, and I'm just trying to get them all into a process where someone could, whether it be, you know, day one or day 50. You can just pick up the book at any day. I want these books to be not something you use, like, on that day, because you may need day 34 this day, but to use the books to just, you know, it could be the day you open up, and this one day will be the word that God had just for them to encourage them not to give up. So that's why I wrote it in that manner of encouraging and inspiring people to just still hold on to God's promises, because there is true success in focusing on those promises.
That is so true. So true. Is there someone on the line? Are we going back to the line, Stacey?
Yes, there's someone on 212. The last four numbers, 2160. I spoke to them, and they said they would like to speak to Lisa, but they didn't get their name.
Awesome. Well, caller 2160, welcome, and you are live with Eloquently Speaking. And Ms. Lisa Dixon, good evening.
Hello.
Yes, they're very soft-spoken. She did say hi. Ma'am, could you speak up a little bit? If you wanted to speak to Lisa, she's ready to speak with you. If you have a question or a comment.
Glory to God. Somebody's trying to get through. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. caller 2160, you are on the mic with Lisa Dixon. Okay, well, continue listening to the show. We thank you so much for your time, and we will continue on with the show because the people are there, but they didn't, you know, they're not saying anything, so we'll just continue. And if you're listening to the broadcast, if you would like to speak with author Lisa Dixon, please press £1, and we will call the last four numbers of your telephone number. And Christian Starr, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Lisa, in regards to the inspirational book, again, like I said, I'm probably more stoked about that one because it's the one I've actually interacted with. But could you talk to the listeners about what they can expect from that book as a twofold tool, both inspirational, devotional, but also application wisdom as well?
Yes. In this anniversary book, I definitely started off with the inspiration. But then in the middle or near the end, I started to just give practical application of how you can apply things and how the Word of God, you know, by telling you to live well and that your life will be blessed. And then I'm telling you about the scriptures that tell you that. And then I'm also telling you to, you know, keep your circles that are godly. And what I mean by that the people that are around you, making sure that they are encouraging you, that they are cheerleaders that will tell you to fight and not faint, because and making sure that you can hear all that you need to hear in the spirit by keeping your connection and your communication with God. It is nothing wrong with praying without ceasing, because, see, when we go through stuff, I've been through stuff. My mom's been sick. My father's been sick. I've been sick. But I've learned to just pray without ceasing. A lot of times we don't need to tell everything to everybody. We just need to talk to God. You know, talk to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can talk to Jesus, and then God can answer your prayers. And that's an easy thing. It's just keeping quiet, being still. When the storm is going on, you can't move with the storm. You got to stay still in the storm so that the storm can pass over you. Because if you move and if you're trying to do too much when the storm is going on, you're going to get caught up in the storm. It's going to wipe you under. But I've learned to just stay still when the storm is going on, no matter what's going on, you know, because
life is going to happen, and I call it the waves of life, because life is just like a wave. It has its ups and it has its downs, but you just have to stand still. So I'm writing processes of encouragement. I'm writing inspiration, but I'm also talking to you about prayers for your family, prayers for yourself, and just different prayers and process of prayers, because, see, we have to first be humble and honor. The first thing we do before we pray is we ask God to forgive us. Each day we pray, we should ask God to forgive what we've said, what we haven't said, what we thought, what we haven't thought of, because we are sinless people. And don't always believe this. You know, a lot of times people believe once saved, always saved. No, we are not. You know, we have to be able to really take a look in that mirror and to repent and to get our own spirit and our own soul right. Because, you know, Judgment Day is real, God is real, and life is real. So you just have to also always just make sure that you're right so that you can walk in his righteousness and not worry about what others are going to say. And I will keep saying that because that was my stronghold. My stronghold was listening to so much of what the world thought of me and what I couldn't do and what I wasn't and all of that, because that's what held me back for so many years of even writing a book. Because I didn't think I was capable of it because of what people said about me. And so even in life, even in my current life, it just took me to really start self-examining myself and realizing that everything God made is good. And since he made me, all is well. And you just have to get to that point. So I'm writing those type of things in the book to really just encourage people that are reading it to be able to have practical application to say, I'm going to set a time for my prayer. I'm going to pray a family altar. I'm going to make a family altar at my home, and I'm going to have a petition. I'm going to have it well. I'm going to write down what I'm asking God to do, and I'm going to have prayer points and focus on what I'm asking God to do, and I'm going to fix my mind on that and pray to that every morning, every night until God moves. So that's what my anniversary inspiration is all about.
Well, if you could take a moment to expound on the idea that once we're saved, we're always saved. I've heard so many different positions about that, and I mean, I even carry one of my own, but could you expound on that from your perspective?
From my perspective, I believe that sometimes people don't think that they have to repent. They don't think that they needed to go back to God because they feel that they got saved when they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that's it. And they feel that they can live like hell and things can happen and they don't have to repent. They can be mean to people. They can lie on people. They can talk about people. They can do all these things. And they don't feel that they have to go back and say, Lord, forgive me. Repent, you know. They don't think they have to even read Romans 10:9. They don't think that they have to really confess their sins. But that's why I say it is not once saved, always saved. Because there, by God even saying that we are sinful people, that right there says that there's going to be something that's going to come up that we may not always handle pleasing to him. So to keep from us having a stink or a smell in his face, in his presence, when we're coming to him, asking him for prayers and asking him to do things for us, and we haven't even asked for forgiveness for things that we've done to others. So that's why that's my perspective of why I feel that it's not true with this once saved, always saved. I believe that we have to always continue to strive for his mercy and for his grace and to be the light in the darkness, because we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. So in order to be that, we got to convict ourselves. We have to self-examine ourselves, and we have to check ourselves. And sometimes I think that's very hard for a lot of Christians to do, because sometimes as Christians we feel that we're this high and we don't have to, we've never done anything, you know.
Well,
so that's my perspective.
I totally feel you on that. That's something that I usually like to hear different because there is, in the body of Christ, a very confused position about salvation. And that in itself can lead to other problems. You know, one thing I often tell people is that when the blood of Jesus was shed, it was shed for everything that you have done, everything you're about to do, and everything that you will do. and it's not something anybody can earn. And there are only a few things in the Bible that can take your salvation away from you. You know, the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So there are very few things. I mean, if one wants to be crazy enough to blaspheme the Holy Spirit or accept the mark of the beast or do something, you know, go reprobate in their mind. Other than that, what you can find is I've come to understand that consequence is real, you know, and people really believe that they can evade consequence and you can't. You know, when you go to repent towards God, you're showing your heart towards him, a heart that you don't want to be a carnal-minded Christian. And that is something that is mentioned in the Bible, and they exist. Yeah, you know, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yeah, you're born again, you know, but you're living in hell on earth. And you're commencing hell for other people. So, yes, you are saved, even in acting a fool. You know, yeah, you didn't do anything to earn that. Your actions can't undo that, but God will not be able to shield the consequences of what can happen to you. You're still reaping and you're still sowing. You know, you still have to follow spiritual law. And I think people make the mistake of believing that once they go and dip in the water and come back up again, then they don't have to understand the very nature of the God that they're serving. It's like fire insurance for many people. It's like, okay, I got baptized. I'm not going to hell now. Okay, that's cool. That's how you want to rock that. I promise you, you won't be in the holies of holies, but you might want to find out what's going to happen to you right here on this good earth while you're breathing, while you have children that are sanctified by you, while you're sowing terrible behavior, and then you're reaping it and wondering why your life is in shambles. You know, what kind of heart do you have towards God? You know, and his grace and his mercy is that he loved us first and he continues to. And he has to say, you are my child. He will chastise you to the fullest extent of the law. You know, because we are now saved, because our salvation is not up for discussion, you know. And so, like, I try to tell people, God loves you. Once you get born again, you my sister, you my brother in Christ. That's not even a subject on the table anymore. What quality of life do you plan on living? Do you plan on having God's best? Do you plan on existing, or do you plan on living and being everything that God wants you to be? Because you can't treat people crazy and, you know, and expect not to receive the harvest of the thing in which you're sowing. You know, when you go to God with a contrite heart, he will make his mercy sometimes evade some of those consequences. Because you came to him and said, you know what, Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. I should not have acted that way. I'm not even going to make an excuse for it. And so he sees our heart. But it's a lot of Christians, as Stacy often says, that need to have a heart check. Once they've become members of the body of Christ, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So the church is not going to be effective if we keep attacking or going to the source of people's salvation. Because if they pick up that book and find out that they can't be separated from the love of God, they can be like, look, I may act a fool in the street, but that doesn't eradicate my salvation. Oh, but it can eradicate your life on this earth. You know, you're still sowing terrible things. You can still deal with consequence, and you will have to. And so from where I stand and from the study that I've done, I really believe that a lot of Christians really need to understand that just because we are children of God does not mean we evade consequence, and God can still see our heart. You see what I'm saying? At this point, they need to make it about their heart towards God and their heart towards their fellow man. You done been dipped in the water already. Yo, Christ is still on you already. He died for everything you're going to do, not just everything you've done, everything you're going to do. But the blood covered it all. But where is your heart in this? And we wondering why the promises of God are not manifested in our lives, why poverty is ensued in our lives. We have no peace in our life. I mean, well, you know, how are you living?
Amen.
Becoming a Christian is more than just about not going to hell. And I think that's a thing in my mind that a lot of us need to wrap ourselves around. This is more than just about not going to hell.
And, you know, I just have to jump in. I have to jump in right there because in the book of Isaiah, in the 43rd chapter, in the 10th verse, it says, ye are my witnesses and my servants. And God says he wants us to know him and understand. I was just saying it, but I'm going to read the scripture. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And that scripture is talking about relationship. God wants us to enter into a relationship with him. And, yes, there's more to life than just accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. We tend to skip over the regeneration process. The word tells us, yes, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature and old things are passed away. But between the time that a person accepts Christ and then that, you know, where do we teach? And I'm not saying, you know, the some churches are teaching that you have a bunch of people, they just get saved and they stop there. And it's like, hello, there's so much more. Get fortified in the word. Learn the word, because half of the crisis and the trials and tribulations that come up against us is in the word. There's a biblical prescription for everything that we go through. And our lives would be so much more easier if we lived the biblical principle life. And sadly, a lot of Christians, we don't. You have a lot of Christians that are saved, but they carnal. You know, you got a lot of Christians that they don't believe in taking it to that next level. It don't take all of that. Well, you know, they still blinded in a lot of areas. And I believe, ladies, that that's where, you know, prayer definitely helps, but education. You know, and going back to everything that Lisa had wrote on her website, you know, about the community. You know, does it really take a village? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
So we are many, we are many members, but one body. And we need to all come together on one accord. You know, I love in the New Testament when they, you know, they sold everything they had to make sure everybody had what they needed.
Amen.
You know, the unity was there. And that's one of my prayers, is that we will, as a body, we will continue to be unified and come together
and, you know,
on one accord.
And that's what we just have to, when you mentioned education, it's so important. It's like a lot of us come to the body of Christ because we're told this is what we're supposed to do. Or we're told that if we don't get baptized, if we don't accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we're going to hell. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, if your reason for coming is fire insurance, then, oh, well, it's done. But after salvation, what next? You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do we understand that? I mean, how many of us are being told things about Old Testament under the law of dispensation, but we live in the dispensation of grace and can't function in our own dispensation? But then how many of us won't even go look at the Old Testament that would give us the viewpoint? If we really want to understand how God operates, the Old Testament gives us that. But we need to understand what Jesus was here laying down. Our New Testament gives us that. But the fact that we are without a knowledge of how we ought to handle things and why. You can't just tell people, this is what you need to do, do this over here. Okay, at some point, if they have any half a brain, the question is going to come up as to why. Why I pray? Or better yet, how do I pray? You know, so many of us are taught that there's no wrong way to pray. God know my heart. Really? Where in the Bible does it talk about straight up and down silent prayer? We're not even reading the book. You know, well, if it be the Lord's will, I can't even lie to you. That's one of the statements I hear from Christians that makes my skin crawl, because the Bible says, well, I come in the volume of the book. There are very few things where we just have to leave it up to chance and say, well, you know, if it be the Lord's will. Many of us walking around saying, I'll be healed if it be the Lord's will. What you mean if it be the Lord's will? With Jesus stripes, you were healed. The will is done. You know, there's so much that has already been done. There's so much that has already been promised. So many of us walking around busted, disgusted, hurt, scarred. Well, Luke 10:19 said you didn't have to be hurt. Hurt is a choice because you have authority. But that is not, that's not the way we're taught. Man, there is a way that seems right unto man, and that way leads to death. And it is stated two times in the same book, you know what I'm saying, back-to-back chapters, that our way of thinking can get us killed. So once we become Christians, we have to understand faith. We have to renew our mind. We have to get ourselves in a position and the very nature of the being that we are praying to get some understanding so that we don't perish for a lack of knowledge.
So it's like, yeah, you're not going to hell, but you won't get everything done that God put in you. And what happens when we stand before the Lord and we see everything that we left on this earth? We get the opportunity to see everything we left on the table, all the blessings God had for us that we didn't unlock, that we didn't unleash, everything that we didn't have the strength or the courage to believe for. And we see everything we could have had, and then we remember the minuscule life that we lived. There will be a day when we will see it.
Yes. Okay.
You know, this is good talk here, and if you're listening, all of our listeners, our audience, we thank you so much for taking the time to tune in, because there's a lot of calls and people on the line. If you would like to speak with Lisa Dixon, if you have a question for her, please press #1 to get in the queue, and she'll be more than happy to speak with you. And we're going to try 7350 because your line is still lit up. You're on the mic with Lisa Dixon. How are you this evening? God bless you. How are you? Okay. Well, thank you so much. Well, we're not going to try that again. Those three numbers, we're kind of done with them. But we thank you. I mean, you're diligent. You're still there and you're listening. So we do thank you so much. You know, sometimes people are shy, and we bind that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And Lisa, could you talk to us about the counseling services that you provide?
Oh, yes. I provide grief counseling. What that is it's a total of about 5 sessions, and we go through the stages of grief. We see where the partner or the person is at that time, or the client rather, if they're in the beginning stages, which is anger and disbelief or what have you. And we just really first find out where they are, and then we allow them to talk in the second session. And sometimes in the first session, they're getting together in a group, and then they're being, or they come as a family. And we actually are mobile right now, because myself and my husband, we do this on the side, and we go to families on a mobile process, and we sit with them and we talk and get to know their loved ones and get to know what's going on right now with them. And we just walk through the process of going from the stages of grief to talking about the loved one to allowing them to paint out some of their pain, and then also having them to write or put together what we call a legacy scrapbook. And what that legacy scrapbook is allowing them to take moments that were impactful moments with their loved one and build that scrapbook so that they'll be able to share in their loved one's life for generations to come. And that is also encouraging them to journal. Each time they come to the session, they journal, and we get to talk about what they have written and what they're processing through. And at the end of the session, there is a Dove release, and that allows them to release any unresolved or anything that they have suppressed and they haven't dealt with, those things that may be holding them from being free through their process of grief.
That is wonderful. So you and your husband, tell me more about, it seems like y'all, he does a lot, he's very supportive to you, and you do a lot of work together.
I know, I will tell you this, when I met my husband, I had went through a bad relationship in my own life, and I know God really placed Ronnie in my life. He was definitely prepared just for me, because there is sometimes things that he will say and that I won't even have to say. It's almost like we don't have to speak. It's like an unspoken word, because he has a heart for God's people. He is a very people person, caring person, loving person, and an inspiring person himself. So if there is something that we could do, I think we both just have a love for serving hurting people. And and for single moms, and for children that are raised by single moms, because when we were rearing our kids in Virginia Beach, we had a track team, and at the time we collaborated with the Powell Police Department, so they would bring the busloads of kids to a track, and we would just practice, and we had an AAU track team that went all over the world. Because the kids were just that great, and they won the Junior Olympics and everything. And what happened was those kids now, when we see them, they're grown people. And they'll come up to us, and they was like, we just thank you because you all had us at your home, and you fed us, and you cared us, and you let us stay in hotels and, you know, things of that nature. But I couldn't have done none of that if I didn't have my husband's support, because it was his love for them as well that allowed us to open up our own family to help others. So we have always been a people of putting others before ourselves, because we believe that when we do God's work, he will take care of ours. And we've seen him do that. So we pretty much like to just serve together in whatever ministry. Now, he's in some ministries that I'm not in because he likes to talk. And I know there's just one ministry at my church. It's called What's Next, and that's helping the partners at the church find out what ministry that they would like to start in and to be active into the body of Christ. And but other than that, we serve together. We've always have served together in whether it be in ministry, church, and in the community.
I'm sure,
I need to be like y'all when I grow up.
That helps keep our love, you know, heart in line, because we're always
right.
together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can just get him to help start finishing writing that our last book. We'll be great.
I'm telling y'all, me and Sam need to be like y'all when we grow up.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well,
so Lisa, is there anything else that, oh, I'm sorry, Christian, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just about to say to our listeners that I know our time was starting to come to a close, and if there's anyone out there that wanted to get in the queue to Lisa Dixon offer words of encouragement, please feel free to press £1, I believe, and enter the queue, as I know our time is winding down. You have a few more minutes to still catch us if you would like to call in and speak with us.
And we do have a caller. Caller with the last four numbers ending in 2376. Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. Our featured artist tonight is Christian author Lisa Dixon. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Praise God. I finally got in. This is the wonderful husband of Lisa Dixon. I've been talking so eloquently about me. I've been trying to get in. I've been on the line the whole time trying to get in, and I finally got in. Not to you know, belong everything. I'm really enjoying this conversation. This is a great form. I'm just so proud of my wife. I'm proud of you guys for allowing her to be on the air with you guys tonight. And everything she said about our relationship and how we love the Lord and love God's people is real. So I just thank you guys so much. And I want to, you know, give somebody else the opportunity just to let y'all know that it is working. £1 is working. I've been hitting it all night, but I finally got in.
Okay, but we're not going to let you go that fast.
You ain't gonna let me go that fast. I'm trying to finish doing my laundry.
Okay,
you
finish your laundry and make sure Lisa's. Huh?
I said she didn't tell y'all I was domesticated too. I'm trying to finish my housework.
Yeah, make sure her dinner is ready and her dessert when she get off this line.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to say God bless you for all of the work that you do with her. You know, when God say the two shall be one, and just listening to her, everything that she was saying, you know, my husband. So we commend you for the support and the fact that you two really are a team, and the work that you're doing together is really wonderful. And I'm going to connect with Lisa off of the line so that we could get a little bit more involved with the work that you're doing in Virginia. And I'm actually going to be coming out that way in about 2 weeks or so.
So I'll make sure I connect with you all and try and get, you know, to the shelters and help out. But thank you so much, and God bless you. Christian, did you want to say anything to Mr. Dixon?
You know, just thank you for being supportive and being out working in the community. I know anytime we have brothers out there that are God-driven and are doing the work, it is awesomely a blessing. And, you know, I'm happy when, you know, there are husbands that are very supportive of their wives, and you're able to work in tandem, and that allows people to see that God's covenant of marriage is not dead. You know, it's not dead.
It
still works. It's still alive and well, you know. And then, you know, he could use y'all's union to show so many others that, hey, God's way works. And, you know, you could be with your mate and be happy and thriving and, you know, not feel like anything is missing from your life. And so I just thank y'all for showing that tonight.
Thank you so much. Like you said, you know, it goes both ways. You know, the Bible says when two become one, and that we truly try to live that out in our lives and, you know, in our service to God's people. So thank you guys for those comments.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you.
Bless you too.
Well, that was a nice surprise.
Well. Hey.
Yeah, that was.
I love
He's
funny too. He said she ain't tell y'all that I'm domesticated. See, now he had to make us transition to the Christian view.
And we get there. Well, hey, that's what we do. We go there rather quickly.
Yeah.
We're there rather quickly.
Amen.
Well, Lisa, I was told to tell you hello and how you're doing. You know, it's a very, very small world. And before we hop off the air, I just have to tell my listeners, our listeners, that the internet makes cyber time makes real time real quick, and it makes the world a very, very small place. Because when I was talking to Lisa for the first time during a consultation for the editing or for her book, I was telling her where I was from, and that I had this aunt that was like, you know, the general, one of the, you know, you don't want to cross her type aunts. Like, you love her to life. She's the sweetest person on the planet. But growing up, we knew that if you crossed her, that was the one that was probably going, you know, put you out, put your lights out. And it just so happened that that particular aunt is someone that she knows. So she told me that she knows quite a few of the family. And I was told to tell you hello, as my aunt is in Alexandria here.
Oh, okay. Yes. So I said hi, too.
So Pat and Ed said hello. I was supposed to do my due diligence tonight.
Yes, give Pat and Ed my love and our love. Tell them Ron said hi, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely do so.
Well, Lisa, do you have anything else that you would like to share with us? Because we want to make sure you cover everything.
I just wanted to say this one last thing, is that I have learned as well to follow the word of the Lord, and it's something that I've written today, that I have learned to follow the word of the Lord, which allows me to reach the unsaved and to meet them where they are with a pure heart, gentle spirit, and not an overpowering spirit. Sometimes it is not easy speaking to a diverse audience, but it is necessary for the salvation of the world. And so I just wanted to encourage everyone, especially what's going on with this world today, is that we look at life as loving everyone and be able to approach everyone with the love of Christ and just talk to them, because there are hurting people. I spoke in February for the Black History Month program at the base, and I was telling them, because I remember coming to work many a days and seeing people sad and despairing. People just need someone to give them a wonderful smile or a hug, because you don't know what they are battling, what they are going through. But if you just show an act of kindness towards them, it will just bless their day and let them know that everyone in this world is not as bad as what the media says and the TVs and the social media and all of that. But there are people that really care. So I just wanted to encourage people tonight is that we live in a diverse world, and we are all God's people. And so to make it your effort to just give someone a kind word, a smile, and just love on people. It's okay. Even those that, you know, wrongfully hurt and abuse and use you, still love them. Because if they're doing that, they are in pain. They are hurting somewhere in some areas of their life, and all they need is a little love. So, and love does conquer all.
Amen.
That's what I wanted to share. Okay.
Amen. So I'm going to give my remarks, and then Christian is actually going to close out tonight. We'll be rotating. I wanted to say thank you, Lisa, so much for joining us tonight. We certainly received a lot of information from you, and it's an awesome, you know, the more we started talking and everything, you're so much more than an author. You're a philanthropist. And, you know, you are genuinely doing the work. And
Amen.
A lot of times we can talk the talk, but you're actually in the field and you're making a difference and you're empowering people and helping people that need help with, you know, resumes and mock interviews. And that is so, so awesome. I thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And for all of the listeners that took the time to call in today, we thank you so much. You are important to Eloquently Speaking. We would not be here if it wasn't for your support. And if you did not get an opportunity to call in and speak directly with Lisa, you can feel free to visit her website. And I'll give you that information again. And that's Lisa's, L-I-S-A-S. -inspirations.com. And on her website, you will find her daily inspirations. She has a calendar to set up counseling appointments if you would like to meet with her. She has a current events button. And she also has a shop on her page as well. So we want to encourage you to stop by and purchase a copy of her books, Lisa Inspirations. And for those that are grieving or have lost a loved one, especially a sibling, a brother or a sister, her book, A Brother's Love, is a grief guide to handling the loss of a loved one. So she gave out a lot of information tonight. And even if you didn't have a chance to present your question, please feel free to post it on the events page, or you can contact Lisa directly through her website. And Lisa, would you like to give your email address, please?
Say that one more time. The phone is muffled. I can't hear you.
Yes. Would you like to provide a contact email for people to contact you?
Yes. It's Lisa's Inspirations. @gmail.com. So it's Lisa's Inspirations, one word, @gmail.com.
Okay. So thank you so much for that information. And I just want to say again, thank you so much for everyone that took the time to support Lisa Dixon tonight. And Christian Starr is going to give us our next show that's going to take place on next Monday at 9 p.m. So, Christian, I'll turn it over to you.
Again, thank you so much, Lisa, for being with us, and thank you, listeners, so much for tuning in tonight. Next week, we will be talking with Robin Robbins, tongue twister. And she is the author of Diary of an Ex-Adult Entertainer. And we're definitely looking forward to talking to her about just so much involving that and all the different endeavors that she's in now and different areas of ministry she's in now and how you get out of the web that is that situation or that lifestyle. So definitely looking forward to talking to her on next Monday at 9 p.m. And we'll also, to be announced, be doing a special show, more like a community roundtable, whereby we will be addressing police brutality, Black Lives Matter, Black-on-Black crime, the state of Black community, state of America, where do we stand in it, and how do we do something about it, different things that we can do to bring about change. So we will definitely keep you posted on when we'll be doing that show, and we're hoping that you will tune in, call in, that we'll be able to share information and take it back into our own communities and be the change that we want to see. So that's what's coming up pretty soon on Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. You know, we give you the Christian view, and we always keep it real with you. So thank you so much again, Lisa, for being with us. To all of our listeners, please be safe. Remember that God is always in control. And look, if God got you, God got you, and everything will be well. As for myself and the angel of the house, Eloquently Speaking, Stacey Longsford, we thank you for tuning in with us, and we wish you a good night.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night. God bless you. Thank you.